In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. This is the first Sunday of the Great Lent, which is called Sunday of the Samaritan Woman. And in our Coptic community, we call it the Middle Sunday, Hadd al-Nus in Arabic. And as you know, the reason we call it Hadd al-Nus, or Middle Sunday, it really signals a very important point of our Lent journey, where we have to stop and examine our journey to make sure that we are on the right track. For example, if you remember the journey so far, we started preparing for our journey from the first Sunday by looking for the valuable things that we will carry with us on our journey. I doubt that any one of us would want to take with him any old or harmful or corrupt things. What will this do for you if you take any of your old stuff on your journey? You may find yourself want to throw it away on the road. This is exactly the same for us when we prepare for our heavenly journey. We have to make sure that we are leaving behind any harmful things. And we can do that through confession. And we can make sure that we can take up only the heavenly treasures of the good deeds, reconciliation, almsgiving, tithing, service, your smile, your support, and all the good things that you do for everyone and with everyone around you. However, we must prepare ourselves that there could be some roadblocks on the way. Something could stop you. Roads could be closed, bad weather, some accidents. And you may think about maybe turning to a nearby town where you can rest for a while, and then you may like it, and you'll be tempted to stay instead of continuing your journey. That's the temptation Sunday. So we have to get ourselves back and continue on the road to make sure that we have one goal, one objective, to continue our journey and nothing will stop us. That doesn't mean we will not get lost at some point of time. We could get lost and we could stop again, because we are human beings, we are weak, we have our weaknesses. But again, remember what happened last Sunday with the prodigal son. We must get up, we must arise and go to our Heavenly Father and confess our weakness and tell him, I am not worthy to be called your son, but make me as one of your higher servants. That would be a good starting point to continue your trip. But as expected, again, you may find another checkpoint on the road where you may meet like authorized officials who want to check you out and make sure that you are a legal citizen of the new city you are going to, this heavenly Jerusalem. And this is true, by the way, right here in the U.S. In the mid-70s, I was living in Brownsville, Texas, and the nearest church was in San Antonio, about 5 hours away from Brownsville. And when you go from Brownsville to San Antonio, somehow in the middle, there is a checkpoint. They check if you are a legal citizen or not. And if somebody is not, they have a complete roadblock. You cannot go anywhere. They can either look at you and let you continue, or check your paper, or have you stop to be examined completely. So this is very true right here. The border patrol always check everyone going in and out this area to make sure that you are a legal citizen of the U.S. That's exactly the same for us for today, for this week, that maybe God is giving us a chance to stop, make sure if we are legal citizens of the New Jerusalem, the city that God prepared for us. And how did I draw this idea of stop and make sure that you check yourself? We talked about the Samaritan woman in the last 4 years, and today I want to make something different that really give you the idea about this checkpoint. I will call it confronted by the truth. And if you really can examine the 3 points I will mention now, you would know for sure if you are a legal citizen of the heavenly Jerusalem or not. The first point is, we are confronted with the truth about who we are. About who we are. To get my point across, let me start by telling you the story that was written by someone named Charles Swindoll, and he wrote it in his book called Growing Deep in the Christian Life. He spoke about a true story of a man who bought fried chicken dinner for himself and his girlfriend to enjoy on a picnic one afternoon. And he was in for a surprise because the person behind the counter mistakenly gave him the wrong paper bag. Earlier, the manager had taken the money from the cash registers and placed it in an ordinary bag, hoping to disguise it on his way to the bank. But when the person working the cash register went to give the man his order, he grabbed the bag full of money instead of the bag full of chicken. So Swindle continues and says, after driving to their picnic site, the two of them sat down to enjoy some chicken. They discovered a whole lot more than a chicken, over $800. But he was unusual. He quickly put the money back in the bag, and they got back into the car and drove all the way back. And Mr. Clean got out, walked in, and became an instant hero. But then the manager was frantic. The guy with the bag of money looked at the manager in the eye and said, I want you to know I came to get a couple of chicken dinners and wound up with all this money here. Well, the manager was thrilled to death, and he said, let me call the newspaper. I'm going to have your picture put in the local paper. You are one of the most honest men I have ever heard of. To which the man quickly responded, oh, no, 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 don't do that. And then he leaned closer to the manager and whispered, you see, the woman I am with is not my wife. She is somebody else's wife. And Swindle closed the story by saying, harder to find than lost cash is a perfect heart. This man was confronted by the truth. Just people, the newspaper. He did not know that God is watching over him, and he knows the sin that he was committing. That was a wake-up call for him, and he stopped, of course, what he did. But you see, sometimes God keeps waiting until something happens, even maybe a good deed that you do, and that could be like a wake-up call for you. And he continues in his book, which is something I really like, and let me share it with you, and he said, our culture has a terrible impact on the Christian community. There are two things that are wrong. We have failed to teach the basic doctrine of the Christian faith in our homes. We have failed to model the Christian faith in the world. And the church itself is having a hard time in teaching the fundamentals of the Christian faith and giving clear definition to the right and wrong. The church is resisted by its own people under the vague notions of what it means to be nice and make tolerance our defining doctrine. And I thought to share this comment from his book. It's very true. Sometimes we try to work with the community outside and try to mingle and mix and be part of it instead of being completely different, showing God in us in all what we say and all what we do. And I wonder, how did we get to this place when the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the center of our faith, was ruthlessly clear and truthful? Whenever people confronted him, they were often stripped of their pretenses and made vulnerable by the truth with which he confronted them. Some of those individuals ran from the truth. Others were staggered by it, and still others embraced it, difficult as it was. But people were always confronted by the truth, and they had to face the truth about themselves and the reality, who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And that was the case with our story today about the Samaritan woman when she encountered the Lord at the well. And if you look at the story, it teaches us so much. And I believe it teaches us that when the Lord encounters us, the first thing that happens to us is we are confronted with the truth about who we are. Something very important that we stop and think about it right now, today, in the middle of our journey of Lent. The truth this woman was forced to see was not very pleasant. Her moral life was maybe the joke of community. She seemed to lack any moral sense. And she defended herself and discredited herself at the same time. And there was always someone to take advantage of her weakness. But when the Lord Jesus offered her water from the well of the living water, she did not understand what he was saying. She was trying to understand and misinterpreted what the Lord said in the book of John in chapter 4. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. She replied with a materialistic question and materialistic understanding and said, Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water and get like upset by people who may be like cursing me and swearing at me. She thought that since the Lord Jesus was a stranger, this could be a chance for her to get what she wants and nobody knows about her story. But she learned quickly how the Lord can see through and how he can look into the heart of man. It doesn't have to be the way from outside, the way we look. And when she started to speak to him and thought that he will give her the materialistic water that will make her not thirsty and not have to come here again, she was confronted again by another truth. The Lord asked her, go ahead and bring your husband and come here and let me give you the water. Now she was shocked at the question. As you know, she said, I have no husband. Then God confronted her again and said, well, you have had 5 husbands and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. Now we start to look more in depth about our life and to see what we really are. The Lord knew the truth about her and he forced her to see and admit the truth about herself. But that's the way it is when we come into contact with God. Suddenly his light will shine on us and reveals the truth about us. And we understand that he sees us as we really are. That's the key. That God will always see us the way we really are. And when the real us is exposed by God, we have to admit the truth. We have to confess the truth about ourselves. We always try to cover up and conceal the truth and hide the truth from ourselves and from others. And we try to put like a mask and go about our make-believe world. And to be honest with you, sometimes we play the pretender just as the Samaritan woman did. And as you know, she presented herself as a different person. She did not know that the person who is speaking to her is God, who knows all the truth. And sometimes even when we stand up in the church or when we pray at home, we feel like we are a different person. The best time, I don't mean only this time, but all the time, but the best time would be like the time of Lent, where we try to sit with ourselves, examine ourselves, and we reveal the truth about ourselves to God. You can reveal the truth about yourself in your confession with your Father of Confession, in your prayer where you speak about your weaknesses, and you are asking God to look deep into your heart and make sure that he can change that heart from the stony figure into the soft, gentle, loving figure. God will always forgive our sin, but only if we face it and admit it and confess it. He will not tolerate our deceitfulness. He will not allow us to play the pretender. The truth must be understood and owned. But it is through truth that we experience the love of God. You will never know the love of God unless you are truthful with yourself first, before anything else. You must be truthful with yourself. That brings the second point. When you have this truthfulness in yourself, you get to know that you'll be confronted with the truth about who he is. When the Lord Jesus revealed the truth about the Samaritan woman, she realized that he must have had some kind of supernatural ability in her simple mind. And you can imagine that from the very few words they were speaking to each other. But quickly when she found that the Lord is revealing all her thoughts and her life and exposing all things, she found herself in a position that's very difficult. And she tried to use a human nature where to try to change the subject by going to something else. And she started asking like a religious question. We know that people say that only on the Mount of Zion, that's in Jerusalem, where we can offer sacrifices and pray. But our people here say, no, it's on the Mount of Gerizim, that's where it should be. She thought that God would say, okay, we will continue this materialistic discussion. And she was surprised that God was telling her, it's perfectly all right that you ask the question, but you have something completely different than what I have for you in my mind. You have the materialistic mountains. I have something else. It will not be in any mountain. Forget the mountains. You have to know that God is Spirit. He is everywhere. And when you pray, you will pray by the truth and by the Spirit. You must worship God in His Spirit and the truth. Again, she found herself in a corner. So what we do? I know that Messiah, who is called Christ, is coming. And when He comes, He will tell us all the things. Then again, God go back and confront her with the truth, the most important one. I, who speak to you, am He. So again, no matter how much we can go around, truth will prevail and we must come back to get to see it. And we must actually sit with ourselves as we did last week in the prodigal son story and reveal the truth about ourselves. There is no one who reveals the truth about yourself. No one will sit and tell you that you are bad and you are not honest or you are not doing what you are supposed to do or what have you. Except you yourself first, as we mentioned before, through repentance and confession. That sacrament is called repentance and confession. Do not forget the first part, that repentance side is sitting with ourselves, examining ourselves, seeing the truth about ourselves, get to know what we really are. You don't have to wait for somebody else. But we may have some points hidden. That's where comes the second part, the confession, where I practically show the repentance side, and now I have help from my father of confession to reveal that side in me. That brings my third and my last point, which is we are confronted with the responsibility to act on the truth. Look at what the Samaritan woman did. After she was confronted with the truth about herself, and she admitted, confessed it to God, He is the high priest, as it is written in the book of Hebrews. He is the high priest. She had a confession before a priest. And He, of course, absolved her from all what she did. And the woman felt like she is starting something new. She had a new life. She must take this new life and pass it to everybody else. She went like on a mission to tell everyone the truth about God whom she encountered. And He told her about all what she did. And look what happened in the scripture today. It says, the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? She is giving a message. That's why I'm very proud and thankful that we have many of our children here are going to Africa and Mexico for missions. And that shows how they really felt the love of God in their heart, and they want to pass that love to others who do not know. It is our responsibility that we go out and teach. I was reading a very interesting story about someone who said we should not interfere with people's belief and faith. We should leave it the way it is. We should respect it. Then the other person told him, let me ask you a question. Let's say you go to Africa on a mission and you find people are very sick and dying and their only way of curing is to go to this witch doctor and you have a doctor at hand. Would you accept their belief that they could be cured by a witch doctor and you have a real physician who can help and cure them? Or would you get up and get that physician and let him look at those sick people and help them to be healed? Which way will you do it? Say, no, I respect your belief. Go for it. And you see him dying? Or would you get up and get the doctor and see him to check those sick people? That's our mission. That's what we should do. When I go somewhere, I will not be shy and I respect their belief and I say, my God is the same like your God. We all worship the same God. It's not true. That means you bring your God down to their level, to the level of any non-Christian God. That should not be it. You are on a mission. You must act like this Samaritan woman did. That when she encountered the truth, she got up and she went on a mission. And you know after that, when it says here she left her water pot, she really did. She became a missionary, and she's one of the saints of our church. Her name is Futna or Futune. It means the illuminated, the one who is full of light, the light of God. And remember, the first mission she did, again from the scripture today, it says many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of what? The word of the woman who testified. Because of what she said, they became Christian. And all of them, they believed that he is the savior of the whole world. They did because of this Samaritan woman that in our eyes, at the beginning, she was a sinful person. But she got up and she went on a mission only after she was confronted by the truth. So if you wish to really be a good model and a missionary person where you can preach the name of God anywhere you go, your presence anywhere will be an open Bible to everyone. They can read through you. They can see God in you, in what you say, in what you drink, in what you eat, and what you dress, and how can you speak the gentle, soft smile and good, loving word about God. In your help, in help, we are not saying that you help only Christians, everybody. You are setting the example of being a true Christian. So please take our scripture today into heart. Take it as you are in the middle of your way and your journey to the Lord, and you need to examine your life, and you need to know if you are a true representation of your Heavenly Father and you are a legal citizen of this heavenly Jerusalem or not. You are the only one who can say that about himself. No one will tell you. And that's why when you go for confession, it is you who will go for confession like the prodigal son. He got up by himself and he said, I will go. I am the one who will go. So please take this positive action and start today to examine yourself, be confronted with the truth, be loyal to God, and go speak and preach his name everywhere. And glory be to God now and forever and ever. Amen.